Welcome back to Urban Health Beat, the show that feeds your mind, body, and spirit. Once again, here's Marilyn Harris Davis and Patsy Anderson.
Welcome back. You're listening to Urban Health Beat. I'm Marilyn Harris Davis and joined by Patsy Anderson, co-founder and CEO of the Women's Expo.
The Maryland Women's Expo.
The Maryland Women's Expo.
Easy to remember, Maryland.
I know, right? And I know every time I hear the word Maryland, every time somebody's talking about the state, I'm like, oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
The Maryland Women's Expo. Patsy, tell us a little bit about what's happened in the past with the Maryland Women's Expo, being that we are one of very few women on this station.
I know, like, isn't that exciting? Like, for me, that journey started 16 years ago, mm-hmm. and the purpose was to help women get exposure, like, a lot of...
Right.
Remember you learned that. You're like,
the
what is an expo?
Right.
And if we really think about that word, it really meant exposure. And mm-hmm. what we discovered, I was working with the Community College of Baltimore County under the direction of Dr. Larry Arison, who at the time was in business ethics. And we noticed that men were doing a really fantastic job of marketing their businesses, Yellow Pages, advertising, radio, TV, but women weren't doing that. And so the Maryland Women's Expo created a platform for women to get exposure, whatever they were doing, you know, whether you had that stay-home business or a babysitting business or you were running a company. And that's how it started. And so with that came radio.
Right.
So I did my first radio interview and bought my first commercial, which was really expensive. And then I'm going, there's got to be a better way. And 2 years later, I'm like, I want to be radio. So again, radio became another form of exposure for women.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really excited about being here on 105.7 with you, Marilyn, because
here we are.
This is a male-oriented platform. So
absolutely.
Once again, here we are hoping to help women get more exposure.
Absolutely. Information and
so
education. That's what we're about.
Yeah, and we'll be a resource for others.
Absolutely. And we are joined by our medical expert, Dr. Gary Jennings, president and CEO of QOL Pain Management and Toscana MetaSpa and Wellness Center, and a sponsor of today's show. We're also joined by Dr. I'm sorry. I mixed up your names. Dr. Silver, Dr. Matt Silver, who is a family practitioner and also a freelance physician wellness educator. Wellness is the operative word today. And we are also joined by Dr. David Arnold, who is a psychiatrist who will be treating Patsy and I after the show because he is with the state of Maryland and he is with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome, everybody.
Do you
Welcome
feel
back.
Nervous? Like he's sitting right there examining,
us, right? It's right between us,
I'll
right?
be honest, I don't feel a bit intimidated at all.
But that's good. That's what I hope that people feel when they come into the session with me.
So. Now, if you were a woman psychiatrist sitting over there, I'd be quite concerned.
So you don't feel intimidated at all?
I'm sure about that.
I'm sure there's a diagnosis for that too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. We have
I
to
should
really
be.
Look at
I
that.
Should feel like that's always probably thinking. Okay, she's a nutbag.
Right.
Something's wrong.
Well, it sort of reminds me of the Star Wars with Yoda. You know, when Luke Skywalker says, "I'm not afraid," and he says, "You will be."
Yeah, right. That's adorable. Yeah.
Very afraid. You will be afraid.
You would probably be afraid of me. Is how this would turn out.
You'd be like, "Yeah, how can I get out?" In this room because she's really crazy. No, the two of us balance each other.
Yes, we do.
We keep each other grounded, yeah, that's for fine. Sure. So, Dr. Silver, before we went to the break, we were talking about the flu shot. We were talking about a lot. And then on the break, actually, because the show needs to be actually 2 hours because we talk about so much on the break, right?
I could do a half a day on radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we were talking about preventive measures. And before we went to the break, you were talking about 1918. So really, really quickly, can you tell us about what happened in 1918 so we can get to nutraceuticals and what we can do proactively?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a historical perspective. Exactly 100 years ago, in 1918, we had an outbreak of the flu. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, it was the same subtype that we're dealing with now, H1N1.
Right.
Now, this
wow.
particular year, there are variations on that, as there were back in 1918. Two or three different subtypes developed over time. Actually, three separate waves from 1918 through 1920. Three different right. waves of epidemic of flu. Mm-hmm. It became a pandemic. It was affecting every country in the world, essentially mm-hmm. every country. Mm-hmm. It ended up with approximately 3-5% of the world's population having mortality, dying mm-hmm. as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the ballpark of 30-50 million people
wow.
died of complications yeah. of the flu 100 years ago. What's changed today in terms of treatment of the flu? there's really not much that's changed. We do have the Tamiflu, which is one particular type of drug that can be useful, has side effects, can't be available in mass to every particular, you know, person who wants it. But also, it speaks more of the issue of what can you do to prevent? Again, we talked about preventive measures that you can take, and also now moving towards some of the things that are available in nature's pharmacy to help support the immune system, which is the critical factor for who gets the flu and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. And those who do get the flu, who's able to get over it in a couple of weeks and who goes into a downward spiral.
Yeah. Dr. Arnold, I know that you are a historian. I mean, in years past, I know that you're a famous historian. Are you familiar with what happened in 1918?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, see?
So how does that compare to what's happening today? Like, what do those numbers look like? I mean, did that take a year for that to happen in 1918? Did it happen in 3 months? When did this happen? What's the time frame?
Well, I believe it happened within a year span.
Wow. That's a lot of people in 1 year. So are we repeating that? Is that what the implication is?
Let's hope not. I mean, we don't know. We can't tell. We can't look into the future and say, oh, well, it's only going to be this number of people or that number of people. We don't know. Yeah. So we have to take the precautions to do everything possible to prevent each individual from getting the flu, because the more individuals we protect, the more we protect the general population.
But Dr. Arnold, as a historian, can we look at those numbers, like where were we 3 months into it in comparison to 1918?
Probably not, because I think back then, first of all, people probably didn't know what was causing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had no, there's just the fact that we know there's a virus and there are steps we can take to act proactively and practice preventive techniques puts us in a better place. That's probably the most significant
thing. Are we concerned
thing.
About this
also,
history?
Yeah. And also, you know, if you look at the biggest impact on health in most countries right now, it's sanitation, actually. The fact that we have better sanitation, better control over waste products and other things that put us at risk.
And then that ends up being a double-edged sword because, yes, you know, on the one hand, we have greater sanitation, and that's the blessing. But now we have airlines and buses and things,
that's true.
Now we can brush up against each other much more
often.
We're
not staying contained
than we did before.
Let me speak to that airplane issue in terms of the challenge of that is every time you're on an airplane, you're breathing everyone else's air.
Right.
That's recirculated air. There's no way you can protect against that.
Don't even tell me this.
One person on that plane who has the flu can be contaminating 150 other people.
Right.
So that's very serious. That's why when you see people wearing these masks in the airplanes, that's not such a bad idea.
Yeah, it really, really isn't, I swear. But again, I'm concerned about a flu mass hysteria. I mean, honestly, I know that we need to be aware, obviously. Again, let me just ask you, Dr. Arnold, are you seeing any overreaction to this?
None at this point.
To the point where you have to calm people down?
None at this point.
Okay, good.
And the thing about the mass hysteria, sometimes it can work to our benefit because then people stay away from each other and they, you know,
well,
start
that's
practicing
preventative.
The preventive.
Yeah, that's preventative, yes.
Yeah. And so it can be protective, you know, as well. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, once we have the flu, I know that we've talked about diet and we've spoken about our supplements. Tell us, Dr. Silver, a little bit more about supplements. We call them nutraceuticals, right?
Well, yes.
They're
basically two categories. One is your typical nutritional supplement that gives the body what it's ordinarily not getting in diet. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were back in the day where food is grown on local farms and the soil is very nutrient rich, we wouldn't have to worry so much about supplements. But now with agribusiness being as it is, the carrot today is not the carrot it was 100 years ago in terms of the concentration of the vitamin C and other vitamins. And that means that you must take nutritional supplements to give your body a fighting chance to have the proper cellular nutrition to keep your immune system high. Right. Now, there are several nutrients that do help to support the immune system in general.
In general. We spoke about D3 last week.
D3 is important.
B12.
Well, actually, B12 is helpful, but not as helpful as, say, the vitamin C.
Vitamin C, yeah.
Because that's one of the ones that most of the research was done way back in the day with Linus Pauling. Then you have other things like the probiotics that are so important to the immune system as a result of the GI tract of healthy bacteria.
Exactly.
And then you have certain types of herbs that are very helpful, like the Korean ginseng that helps to boost the immune system. Many people who are knowledgeable about nutrition immediately go to investigate by going to the website, or a Google search, nutritional support for the immune system. Right. That's what anybody can do that and find out things that they can do and add to their diet that can significantly enhance their potential to be protected from the flu. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, there has been now, in the last, say, 6 months or so of my exposure, something very, very important that most doctors don't even know about, and it's a mm-hmm. breakthrough nutraceutical that actually mm-hmm. helps to boost the immune system stronger than anything I've seen so far.
Okay. All righty. And both of you doctors, we want to talk about this a little bit. HemoHeme is the name of this product, correct?
That is correct. And the HemoHeme is simply an acronym. HemoHeme stands for a hemoglobin, which mm-hmm. is the oxygen-carrying molecule in the blood. And yes. HIM stands for hematopoietic, which means produces red and white blood cells, mm-hmm. immune modulator. So hemoglobin, hematopoietic immune modulator, big fancy word. It's simply a combination of three different herbs that helps to boost the killer cells and other white blood cells that actually help to counteract challenges with bacteria mm-hmm. and boost the immune system in general.
I see.
Got a lot of science behind it. It actually has a U.S. patent.
Yes. Yeah, we spoke about that. There are lots of big words in that U.S. patent that I don't really want to go into right now.
No, but I would love, Dr. Jennings, I would love to hear what you think about HemoHeme.
Well, it's new to me.
It's new to him. He doesn't know. We didn't get a chance to talk about it before the program today,
but I'll be happy to.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the properties in it that come with the patent.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, the science behind this is the South Korean government commissioned a group of scientists to develop a natural formula that would help to protect their researchers from the Atomic Energy Research Agency mm-hmm. from getting radiation exposure cancer, which is, of course, typical for mm-hmm. that kind of exposure. Mm-hmm. Then what they did was they went to Nature's Pharmacy to identify what were the best possible herbal combinations that would help to accomplish that. Okay. Took them about 8 years or so, mm-hmm. 20 different scientists really putting all of their heads together, so to speak. And they found this three combination herbal formula that they released in 2003. And it went into multiple clinical studies and resulted in the U.S. patent being released in 2005.
Okay.
And it was very impressive because the U.S. patent documented it as a pharmaceutical compilation, even though they use the word pharmaceutical to imply how effective it was, mm-hmm. to boost the immune system, anti-cancer, cancer treatment, and also prevention of side effects of cancer.
Okay.
All in that particular category
yeah.
of immune boosting. There's two basic categories, cellular immunity, which protects you against cancer and chronic disease-related immunity, mm-hmm. and then the humoral immunity, which is the infectious disease part.
Okay.
So very impressive formulation, and mm-hmm. now starting to make its way out into the medical community slowly but
mm-hmm.
surely.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, Dr. Jennings, do you have any questions about that?
Well, how would one get this?
Well, we actually do have some reps in the area that can make it available to anyone in the listening audience. Mm-hmm. I'll just pass out my phone number, and anyone who wants to learn more about the HemoHeme, just mm-hmm. give me a call, and I'll get back in touch with you.
Absolutely. I've got to tell you, after our last conversation last week, I have a cousin that was listening to the show, and she actually went and got HemoHeme. She was telling me about the energy boosting factor. She felt so much more energized, and we also had a testimonial last week when Dr. Silver was on the show. A woman called in and said that she felt like she was in a corrosive place with her body, and I asked her what corrosive meant. She kind of felt like her body was eating itself up, you know, and then she felt like her cells had been revived when she did HemoHeme. I mean, and I honestly, she just called in and said that she had tried it and she wanted everyone to know that, so we'll see. I mean, we're not, you know, promoting it necessarily, but I got to tell you, Dr. Silver has a sample. I will certainly give a testimony if it
works.
All right. If it works.
Can't wait to hear about that.
Well, when someone takes this,
yes.
So are we suggesting that they won't get the flu or they won't, or this is
well,
something
this is
that
my,
helps?
This is my opinion. My opinion is that if they take HemoHeme, their chance of getting the flu is much less. Can I give a statistical number as to how much less? Well, I cannot, but I can tell you from the studies I've reviewed about this product, the likelihood is that they would not get the flu.
Wow.
And if they did get it, it'd be a much less severity in terms
of... Yeah, the severity in terms of...
Now, is this something we only take during flu season, or is this something you take all the time to boost your immune system?
I take it all the time to boost your immunity, but it also has some other benefits. It's very helpful for chronic pain. It's also helpful for people who have allergies. We've even heard some reports of people who have lowering of blood pressure and blood sugar.
Is this organic?
Mm-hmm. It is all organic and all natural. Now, why would it have so many different benefits across such a wide spectrum? Well, you've got something that's literally producing red blood cells or enhancing the production of red blood cells.
Yeah, and that's important. That's it's important oxygen, to me. I know that.
Oxygen transmission to every cell in the body.
Now, what do you mean when you say oxygen transmission? Is it putting oxygen into your cells?
Correct. The more hemoglobin, the more red blood cells you have circulating, the more hemoglobin is passing that oxygen into the cells where it's needed for metabolism, meaning similar all of the body functions.
Similar to deep breathing.
Exactly.
Or, I know. Yeah, breathing. Like, breath is important. Like, breath work can actually put life into your cells.
And you've heard of hyperbaric therapy where people get... Well, the same thing. More oxygen to the cells, healthier cells.
I think anytime you're talking oxygen to the cells, like, we can feel like that is an answer. My mom had a stroke, and we're looking at a clinic in... Colorado, and that's what they're going to do. Actually, I don't know what they're using, but they're going to be giving her something that will put oxygen into her brain cells and into her cells.
Well, we have hyperbaric theories. I'm just saying we have hyperbaric chambers here in Maryland. We did a show on hyperbaric chambers. Actually, there's a wonderful center here in Maryland that does exactly that.
Yeah, so there are ways to do that besides exercise.
Yeah. Since your immune system is boosted, are there people who shouldn't take it? Like we were talking about patients who have autoimmune disease.
Yes, absolutely not, because this is not going to pose a problem for autoimmune disease. If anything, it'll lessen that tendency.
Right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Callers, you can join our discussion at 410-583-1057. We are talking the flu. In a minute, we're going to talk about our psychological implications of the world today. So stay with us. You're listening to Urban Health Beat on 105.7 FM.